Welcome to We're Getting a Dog.
Welcome back, everybody.
The show where dogs come to life.
Okay, that's a good new motto for the show.
That's right. How's everybody doing out there?
Yeah, how's everyone in the dogverse? We hope you're all doing well.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well here.
Well, I'm doing okay. So
I'm doing a little better, I guess.
Yeah, I so long story short, we went out with some friends last night. Great time. Had a nice drink. The drink I had was mostly mezcal, and my mother is allergic to agave, which is what that's made from. I thought I had escaped that allergy.
Yeah, when you ordered it, I asked. I thought you were allergic to it, too.
And I said, no, I've never really gotten very allergic. Well, it looks like that was not so much the case, because I had a really bad allergic reaction to it in the middle of the night, and it was miserable. And so if I sound really hoarse, that is why. I'm still kind of on the mend.
Yeah, recovering. It's like evening already, but still.
Yeah, it's not been the most fun 24 hours. Except, yeah. Well, it's not been the most fun 12 hours, 18 hours. All right. Well, we are here to talk about dogs. And yes. Dylan, it's your turn this week.
What
are we
talking about? One dog in particular. One dog breed. The Belgian Malinois.
Ooh, the Belgian Malinois. I really know nothing. I couldn't even tell you what this breed looks like, honestly.
Well, then let's start with looking at a photo provided by the AKC. Belgian Malinois, white background.
Okay, they are. I thought they were going to be like big and fluffy, and they look almost more like a really tall, like German Shepherd in the face, but then almost like a lab in the body, but like super tall.
Yeah, they're very much like German Shepherds, very similar size and build. They're just way slightly less, but they're like the same height, actually.
Okay.
And they have slightly longer legs and slightly shorter hair.
Interesting. They do look a lot like a German Shepherd.
Yeah, definitely. They're constantly compared and do similar work to the German Shepherds, which we definitely brought up Belgian Malinois in our German Shepherd episode as well.
Okay. So that was a while.
Military work.
That was a while back. So German Shepherds was what, season 2? Yeah. So that's reaching into the recesses of my brain. But
so the height, here's some basic descriptions for you. Exactly like the German Shepherd, 24 to 26 inches for males, 22 to 24 inches for females. And the weight, just slightly less than German Shepherds, 60 to 80 pounds in males, 40 to 60 for females.
Okay, so pretty good sized dog.
Yeah. Yeah, about the size of German Shepherds. Life expectancy, though, much longer, 14 to 16 years.
What was a German Shepherd's?
I want to say like 9 to 11. Pretty sure. Like for a large dog, 14 to 16 is insane. That's like a Chihuahua's lifespan.
9 to 13 years for a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
That is surprising since they're so closely related. Do you think it's anything to do with like...
I'm not sure how closely related they are. They definitely look very similar. But I mean, they're related as, Central European Shepherds are, I suppose.
Sure.
Just ended up with a very similar look and coloring.
Definitely. I like their kind of like fawn colored almost.
Yeah, definitely.
That nice tan.
So here's, as always, the general appearance description from the AKC. The Belgian Malinois is a well-balanced square dog. Think like SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Elegant in appearance with an exceedingly proud carriage of head and neck. The dog is strong, agile, well-muscled, alert, and full of life. He is hardy and built to withstand the rugged Belgian climate.
So he's like Chowder.
Exactly like Chowder.
Or stew. It's all nice
a
and hardy.
Thick Chowder-like coat.
Withstands the cold.
He stands squarely on all fours. Still square. The whole conformation gives the impression of depth and solidity without bulkiness. His elegance and expression denote great strength of character, reflecting his heritage as a herding breed. The male should appear unquestionably masculine, and the female should have a distinctly feminine look and be judged equally with the male. I don't know. I looked at a lot of photos of Belgian Malinois. I did not see unquestionably masculine features in the males and distinctly feminine. I can't really tell them apart.
Okay.
But maybe it's in their temperament and personalities more.
Most likely. I find that's usually the case with a lot of breeds. It's just the temperament that changes.
Yeah. So the male's coat is short, straight, and weather-resistant with a dense undercoat. It's especially short on the head, ears, and lower legs. The hair is a little longer around the neck, tail, and back of the thighs. And the standard says it's a natural breed, so no excessive grooming is necessary.
Oh, good. That's always a winner in my book.
The ideal color for males is a rich fawn to mahogany with black tips on the hairs. It's very similar to German Shepherds.
Definitely.
And I have a video of a Belgian Malinois barking.
Ooh, okay.
It's a pretty serious bark.
slightly terrifying to watch.
He looks so excited, too. Very scary bark, but...
Yeah, it's a little scary, but, I mean...
Not quite as loud as a German Shepherd.
It's a lot higher pitched than I thought it would be, too.
It might be a younger Malinois.
Perhaps.
So, there is a classification controversy when it comes to this breed. The Belgian Malinois is very closely related to three other Belgian Shepherd breeds. The Belgian Tervuren, the Belgian Sheepdog, also known as Groenendael, and the Belgian Lakenois.
And I just pulled up the photos of those three here. It's interesting because they're all a little bit fluffier. The Lakenois or Lakenois, or I don't know how. Lakenois.
Lakenois. I don't know.
That one's almost, it almost looks like a doodle.
Yeah. Yeah. The coats are all very different. So they are different in appearance.
Definitely.
But these breeds are so closely related that almost every kennel club apart from the AKC recognizes them all as one breed.
Oh.
Belgium's national club, the Union Royale Cynologique Saint-Hubert, recognizes all four types as a single breed, as does the largest international federation of kennel clubs, Fédération Cynologique. Nailed it. International.
It's Cynologique.
Cynologique. Ah.
I've just read it a
Fédération
million times.
Fédération Cynologique Internationale.
Yes.
Also, yes, the largest international federation of kennel clubs.
We apologize to France. And yes. Belgium.
They recognize them all as one breed, and it just happens to be based in Belgium.
That's interesting to me, because if they have other names, why are they all lumped as one breed? Like, is that just the AKC that's given them
separate names?
Well,
the name in Belgium is, it translates to Belgian Sheepdog.
Oh, so it's like, that's like a category of dog that's just recognizing all the breeds as one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's four types within the breed.
That's confusing to me.
So the FCI, the large international, has 98 countries as official members, and it's sharing all their breed standards. I thought the FCI was pretty interesting because they recognize about 360 breeds from around the world.
Yeah, they're kind of like I would say almost the international version of the AKC, just to put it into the simplest terms.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah, kennel clubs of, you know, 98 different countries.
Yeah. Does AKC contribute to FCI?
Well, there are 98 official members, and then there are three partner countries that won't commit to full membership.
And that's probably where we are.
The U.S., Canada, and the U.K.
Oh, well, you know what? That makes sense, though, because they had their own establishing kennel clubs that originated a lot of breeds.
Well, yeah, but all the other countries have kennel clubs that are members within this international
I wonder if it's a very
federation.
European thing, and then we're just kind of like, nah.
That's kind of the whole world. Everyone loves Belgium.
Their chocolate is so good.
The other three breeds are actually very obscure in the United States, and the Lakenois was only recognized by the AKC in 2020. In 2021, they ranked 194th.
Yeah, I remember that. Remember, because that was like...
in registrations of 197 breeds.
Wow. Like, I remember when the... hold on. I'm asking Google how to pronounce it. Lakenois. I remember when they were accepted, though, because they do the showcase of the new breeds, because that was when the... I think the Cane Corso was accepted
Dogo, Dogo Argentino.
That's what it was, yeah.
So now we're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about the history of the Belgian Malinois.
I am excited.
Because we're Americans and biased. And we're back with the Belgian Malinois. So the breed got its name from the city where it was first bred, Malines, Belgium. Although it's in English, the city's known as Mechelen.
Like Michelin?
Sort of, but with all E's.
Oh, Mechelen. Mechelen. Okay, not Michelin.
So all four Belgian sheepdog varieties were developed in the 19th century. They were used to herd sheep, as well as the cattle used to create the Belgian's world-famous milk chocolate. The Mal is the oldest and most popular of the Belgian sheepdogs. The other varieties were all called other than Malinois.
Oh, creative.
Like, initially. And the breed was a popular herding dog for a few decades until the late 19th century when they were considered obsolete.
Oh, so...
More industrialized farming, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's a lot of that what happens after the Industrial Revolution. There's tons of breeds that either went extinct or almost went extinct, along with all of the industries that they provided.
In 1891, as the population was dwindling, the Club des Chiens Bergers Belges or the Belgian Shepherd Dog Club was founded.
That's a mouthful.
Chien Berger Belge is Belgian Beger Shepherd Dog.
From the Beauceron last episode.
So that's what the breed's known as in Belgium.
Berger, Chien Berger, what is it again?
Chien Berger Belge.
Ooh, Chien Berger Belge.
Belgian Shepherd Dog. And yes, the Club de Chien Berger Belge.
Club. I don't know if it's club.
It's found in 1891. Okay. And this was in the first standard for the breed was written.
It's pretty old, actually.
Yeah.
That predates a lot of breed clubs, for modern breeds especially.
Yeah, and this is when they started to be kept for more than just herding. And Mals proved to be exceptionally versatile working dogs and great companion pets.
Oh, yay.
The Club de Chien Berger Belge helped keep the breed alive through World War I and II. In fact, prior to the wars, interbreeding between the different types of Belgian shepherds was not accepted, but due to dwindling populations, the club allowed the practice after World War I. Then after World War II, they allowed interbreeding between types again, and they kept this change permanent in order to discourage inbreeding.
Oh, okay, that makes sense, because that can always make the lions have tons of health problems. So yeah. We should probably do like a quick refresher for listeners here who are new. So we've talked about, like, a couple seasons ago, we had a guest on the show who talked about how inbreeding is really bad for breeding dogs, because all it really does is create more mutations of genes, which causes, like, really weird coat colors, but also tons of really bad health problems for the breeds.
Yeah.
So there's something that a lot of breeders do now where they'll select, you know, best examples of a dog. You know, or how do you say that? Like, they'll select dogs that are exemplary of the breed to breed with their dogs, but they don't come from the same kennels.
Right, yeah.
It's just like the more common practice now in order to keep breed lines both sufficient and also, like, up to the standard, but it's also to keep them healthy and maybe also eradicate health problems. So it's good that early on they were aware that inbreeding was a big problem, because there's a lot of not to like shade breed clubs, but there are quite a few that I've read about where they encouraged it in order to keep the breed numbers up, especially during wartime. So,
right.
But anyways, I thought that was really interesting that they were like, no, we can't allow that. We got to just do what we got to do.
Yeah. And that might be why it's still just recognized as a single breed.
Sure.
Because interbreeding between them is allowed. As opposed to the U.S., where I think it was in 1959, officially, that's when they recognized them as different breeds. And, okay. Did not allow the interbreeding between them.
Interesting. The AKC. Okay, see, there you go.
Yeah,
what I was just saying. Yeah.
Belgium seems a little more concerned with their health in the mid-20th century.
Sure.
So the Malinois first came to the U.S. in 1911. They got popular pretty quickly. Herbert Hoover had a Mal named King Tut when he was elected president in 1928.
Oh, yeah. Did he, as I always ask, for any dog of the president, did he rip the pants off of any foreign dignitaries?
He did not, no.
Okay,
he
good.
Just didn't like the White House much, so well, he had to move out.
Oh, Herbert Hoover. What a guy. Read up on Hoover if you haven't.
So, unfortunately, World War II put an end to the European export of Mals, so their prominence in the U.S. was stunted.
Sure.
In the 1960s, breeders in the U.S. started focusing on rebuilding the American population of the Malinois, and in recent decades, they've become increasingly popular working dogs with police, the military, drug detection, and search and rescue.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah, they're gaining popularity fast, too. In 2013, they were 60th in the AKC list.
Wow.
And in 2021, they ranked 36.
Wow. That's a far jump. Yeah.
Yeah. Becoming the new German Shepherds.
Definitely.
This res may have to do with a lot of famous Mals getting good press in recent years. A Mal named Cairo was a member of the U.S. Navy SEAL Team 6 and assisted in the killing of Osama bin Laden in 2011. So at Kruger National Park in South Africa, a Mal named K9 Killer helped apprehend 115 rhinoceros poachers.
Wow.
K9 Killer was awarded the PDSA Gold Medal in 2016.
That's a pretty badass job.
Yeah. Hundreds of poachers.
Mm-hmm. Which is terrible, also. Yeah. I read a whole thing about poaching. It was like a section in a book I read about Africa. And it really is probably one of the most, like, enraging and extremely saddening things that people can do is poaching.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's just one of the most disregarding things for animals. And also it destroys their populations like crazy. Sorry, that's my PSA on poaching, but it is one of those things that just, God, it makes me just want to scream. Scream into the wind to not do it.
Just think of canine killer out there.
Yes, yeah, I'm going to...
Other Malinois.
Yes, who are wrangling them up and...
getting them arrested.
Yes. That is cool. I mean, I wonder what that entails. Like, probably a lot of scent trailing then. Just like, again, like a German Shepherd is really good at.
Yeah, just tracking. In 2019, a male named Conan assisted in the capture and killing of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, a more recent
is that
terrorist.
ISIS?
I think so. So on top of being heroic in real life, they've also recently become heroes on the silver screen. The 2015 film Max is about Amal working with U.S. Marines in Afghanistan. It also spawned the sequel Max 2, White House Hero, where Max is reassigned working with the Secret Service.
I feel like the first one was kind of good and serious, and then the second one is kind of like a comedy.
Corey in the house.
Yeah, it's...
So in February of this year, 2022, a movie called Dog, starring Channing Tatum, premiered. In Dog, Tatum plays Jackson Briggs, a former U.S. Army Ranger suffering from PTSD, whose old squad mate was just killed. The film follows his journey, traveling to the funeral with his squad mate's dog, a Belgian Malinois named Lulu. It got some mixed reviews, and I read through like a lot of the synopsis. It's a really weird movie, apparently.
Hmm.
It's like a comedy drama. It's just so many weird parts.
Interesting. I don't know. I mean, I think there needs to be comedy in any drama, but...
I guess, but also, like, the film starts, like, he's taking the dog to the funeral, and then the dog is planned to be euthanized directly after.
Why?
Which I didn't read to the end, but I'm sure he just keeps the dog, so...
That's
because the dog's very aggressive toward other people.
Okay, that's
why he has to take the dog.
Point, though.
Yeah, for like a comedy film where a bunch of wacky stuff happens.
That's also
weird.
Like, I don't know. I think that makes dogs sound like untrainable. Like, oh, they're aggressive. Oh, you got to put them down. I mean,
I'm sure he learns throughout the movie that he doesn't have to put him down.
I guess, but that's just, I don't like that. That's like the beginning.
Have faith in Channing.
I guess
he's magic.
Okay, well, that's a different movie. Does he strip for the dog, and the dog is like, I guess I'll behave.
That's why Daniel Radcliffe was magic in every movie he's been into.
Does he do magic in every movie?
He's that magic boat in Swiss Army Man.
He's Harry Potter.
I haven't seen any of his other movies. So that's all I got for the history of the Malinois.
Okay. I really think this breed has a... almost like a very akin history to the German Shepherd, but just for a long time was in its shadow. It sounds like it was kind of just like, you know, the kid cousin or sibling that could do all the same things.
Yeah.
But just the other one got really popular.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, anyway, well, I think their history is pretty interesting. And I'm also just sort of surprised at how they're still grouped as one big breed in Europe. That just kind of strikes me as strange.
Yeah, very weird quirk to the breed that interbreeding is just completely allowed in its home country.
Sure.
And in America, we're just like, no, they're different. Let's keep them separated.
Well, that's a conundrum for sure. Well, we're going to take another break,
Yeah.
And then we'll be
back.
And
we'll come back about owning Belgian Malinois. If it's the right breed for us.
Hello, listeners. Wesley here to talk to you a little bit about how you can support this show. For each episode of all of our podcasts here at Arcadia, we spend our own money on books, articles, and other materials so that we can bring you podcasts that are thoroughly researched and fact-checked. All of the hosts and producers of these shows also work full-time jobs in addition to the podcast so that we can support this passion we all share. If you'd like to support us at We're Getting a Dog, as well as the other podcasts in the Arcadia Podcast Network, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/We're Getting a Dog or our website, WereGettingADog.com/support. For as low as $2 per month, you can get access a day early to every new episode of We're Getting a Dog and other Arcadia Podcast Network shows, such as Coffee's On and Good Food for Bad Friends. And at higher levels, you can get one-of-a-kind swag. Thank you for supporting the Arcadia Podcast Network and for listening to this podcast. Now back to the show.
And we're back, talking about owning the Belgian Malinois. Here's what the AKC has to say about their health. They do have a life expectancy of 14 to 16 years, so that's pretty remarkably good. Healthy.
Yeah.
And the AKC says the Malinois is generally a healthy breed, and a responsible breeder will screen breeding stock for health conditions such as hip and elbow dysplasia and certain eye problems. As with all breeds, the ears should be cleaned, checked regularly for signs of infection, the teeth should be brushed, and the nails should be clipped.
Definitely. And otherwise, though, it sounded like you said before, it was a very easy breed to groom.
Oh, yeah. And for the grooming, here's what the AKC says. The short, waterproof coat of the Malinois is quite easy to take care of.
Good.
Occasional brushing with a medium bristle brush, a rubber grooming mitt or tool, or a hound glove will keep the dog looking its best.
Hound gloves are great. We use those on our beagles.
Ah. But ain't they were but a hound glove.
Okay. I hope we don't get hit for copyright on that. No, I'm just kidding.
That's gotta be, I gotta write that new commercial.
And I'm gonna cut this, but I had a really weird dream that for some reason I bought Elvis's tooth at an auction.
Why would you cut that? That's gold.
I won't cut it then. Isn't that the weirdest dream, though?
It's a very strange. I don't think I've ever dreamed I was at an auction.
I don't even want to know what the interpretation would be on that.
Well, interpretation is it's a good investment. It's only going to raise in value. So the brushes and hound gloves will keep the dog looking his best and distribute skin oils throughout the coat as well. And Mal's do shed twice a year. During these periods, a daily once over with a slicker brush will help remove the loose hair.
Slicker brushes are interesting. I watched this groomer on TikTok and her slicker brush, they're like really like kind of like wide and thin, and you just kind of like rake it through them and it gets their excess fur out. Yeah.
Right. Now as for the exercise, so the Malinois is highly intelligent, athletic, muscular, and exceedingly devoted. They need to be actively engaged with their owners, both mentally and physically. This is not a dog that can be left in the backyard, and daily walks are not enough either.
Mm.
Exercise and plenty of it, preferably side by side with his owner, is paramount to the breed's happiness. To deprive a Malinois of activity and human companionship is to deprive him of his very reasons for being.
Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, I already feel guilty and I don't even own one. I gotta go running with you more. Malinois I don't own.
Run with it. Yeah.
Malinois make great running, hiking, and biking companions. And they excel at agility, tracking, herding, obedience, and Schutzhund competitions.
Ooh, Schutzhund. We talked about that last episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's like companion dog training, right?
It's like guard dog.
Guard dog, that's what it is, not companion. Yeah, trainer dog would be companion, Wesley. Jeez.
Pomeranians would kill those competitions.
I think it would be a fierce competition between Poms, Chihuahuas, and Beagles.
Can look the cutest. So finally, for training, the AKC says, like most herding breeds, Malinois have a high prey drive and are strongly interested in moving objects. This trait can lead to chasing children, vehicles, or other animals, and so should be directed into acceptable activities through training. Early socialization and obedience training are musts.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, they'll just start chasing everything.
Yes. And it also says, it says here that they need at least an hour and a half to 2 hours of exercise daily.
I see, yeah.
So that's a lot. That's a big commitment, especially if it's all mostly like active playtime. It's not like passive where you just let them out in the back to run around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if you have other dogs, that would work.
Oh, yeah, possibly.
Other dogs for them to play with. But do they do well with other dogs? Do you know?
Didn't mention it in the... Not sure.
Usually if it's not mentioned, it's not... It's definitely not recommended. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I was going to say not recommended. Here, let me look. Good with other dogs. It's in the middle. So it says generally friendly, but should be supervised. So that's probably maybe they have to be very well socialized.
I mean, that dog Channing Tatum had Lulu. She didn't seem friendly with anybody.
God, well...
Until the end of the movie, probably.
I never saw it, so I don't know.
I just read part of the synopsis.
I'm like IMDb.
Yeah, there's a part it's like a road trip movie. At one point he stops in this house because the dog ran in, and then the woman immediately gives him
what?
she gives him and then later they have
Okay, this sounds like not really a movie about
it's like
a dog.
Jumping around. It's like
you said, the
so
movie
many
is
weird.
Called Dog.
It's called Dog.
I think it should have changed title.
Basically, this dog
Channing Tatum does dog is in background.
This dog drags this sociopath into a bunch of different random situations.
Wow. Anyways, well, it's good to know though that they're kind of. It maybe just depends on the dog if it. When it comes to having them in a family of dogs, to wrap that up.
Yeah. Yeah, it just really sounds like it's however you train them.
Mm-hmm. But they are devoted to their people, so that's what's important. Maybe they make a great companion dog in that way, too.
Yeah. As long as you have the time to put in.
Definitely.
That'd be the real then a sticking point if I ever wanted to get a Belgian Malinois. I just don't know if I'd be able to put in that much time for the exercise and all.
Well, if you have...
It's really a particular kind of lifestyle.
Sure. Well, I'm sure if you had a family, too. I mean, that was one thing. You know, we always talk about the dogs need this much exercise, but we never mentioned, too, that that can come in the form of, like, you know, if you have kids, your kids playing with the dog.
Well, yeah.
Or, you know, like, you just...
Split it up when
exactly.
you have enough people.
It's not like, you know... It is harder if you're a sole owner of a big dog sometimes if you have a lot to do because it all relies on you. But
I don't even want to get myself exercising that much every day. And then
we'll just get a Pomeranian. They can just do a couple laps around our apartment and that's exercise enough.
It's like a whole track.
Built a little track for them.
So that's all I got for the Malinois. Would you ever want to own one?
I kind of do. Yeah. I think they sound very, I don't know. I've always been an admirer of German Shepherds, but for some reason, the Malinois seems like a little bit more of a companion dog than the German Shepherd. Oh. The German Shepherd, to me, is a working dog. So, I don't know.
They seem both pretty worky, though.
Yeah. I guess...
Of course, I mean, I've walked German Shepherds that make great companion dogs, too.
I guess I feel equally about the Belgian Malinois as I do the German Shepherd. If I ever found one that I had a true connection with, I would get one. But at the same time, I don't think it's one of the first breeds I would consider for myself, at least.
Oh, yeah. Me either. But definitely a cool breed.
Absolutely.
Definitely slightly smaller, sort of sleeker German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Well, guess what, Dylan? It's time for dog news.
Oh, my God. What's the scoop?
Well, this story comes to us from May 6th. So that was just a couple days ago. It's from CNN. The article is entitled, Zeus, a Great Dane from Texas, is the world's tallest dog.
Wow.
So, as we know, the Guinness World Records got released recently for the year. So, we have covered a couple of them, or one of them already. I think it was the longest living dog.
Yeah, that was last week.
So, a Great Dane named Zeus from Bedford, Texas, is 3 feet and 5 inches tall. Making him the tallest dog in the world.
See, I thought there was going to be from like standing height measuring. Okay.
He officially received it on March 22nd when his height was confirmed by his vet.
So is that from the withers or the top of his head?
What's from foot to withers.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So
3 feet, 5 inches, you said?
3 feet, 5 inches. So it says in the article here that owner Brittany Davis said she always dreamed of having a Great Dane named Zeus and was over the moon when her brother gave her the puppy when he was just 8 weeks old. Although she was really nervous at first about his size, soon she fell in love with him. She also told
8 weeks old. She was already nervous about the size.
Well,
he's already like a giant puppy.
I don't know how big the Great Dane puppies are.
I don't know how long they take to grow.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine. I mean, big dogs grow pretty quick. It's not like they grow slowly over time.
Oh, a little bit. You take like a year
almost.
A couple
years, I'd say. But that's not like, it's not like people.
Oh, no, but it's like in dog years.
I suppose, yeah. Davis told Guinness World Records, he's been a big dog since we got him. Even for a puppy, he had huge paws. And his diet includes 12 cups of dog food every day, as well as the occasional fried egg. And his all-time favorite treat is ice cubes. They get asked a lot if he's a horse or if he has a saddle.
Does he chew like those like giant whiskey ice cubes, like the huge spheres?
Oh, God, I hope not. I would imagine just regular freezer ice cubes. But either way.
They chew those like their little gut piece of gum.
That is the boop-a-da-boop-a-boop dog news of this week.
Interesting. I thought we've mentioned Zeus before.
There
is
was another
new?
Great Dane named Zeus who won previously.
Really?
It's mentioned in the article. This is a new Great Dane named Zeus.
Okay.
Yeah. Popular name, I guess, for that breed.
at least for the tallest of the breed. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay.
Well, everyone, that wraps it up for this week of We're Getting a Dog. We'll be back next week with another breed. I think we're almost done.
Yeah, it's two episodes left in the season.
Yeah, it's crazy. I can't believe.
Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, patrons, for supporting us on Patreon. All that information can be found in our links below, as well as all the photos and videos and the bibliography for this episode, if you want to see our sources. And we thank you all so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll see you again next week. And Dylan, why don't you take us out?
Help out your local shelters any way you can, whether that's donating, volunteering, fostering, or adopting. And help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Wesley Van Hoosen and Dylan Naylor are not pet professionals. Any advice regarding pet ownership and the responsibilities thereof taken from this program should be checked with your veterinarian. All episodes are researched thoroughly, fact-checked, and additionally researched during post-production. Annotated bibliographies of every episode can be found at weregettingadog.com/bibliographies. This podcast is hosted by Dylan Naylor and Wesley Van Hoosen. If you'd like to reach out or submit a photo of your dog to be featured on our social media, please contact us at WGAD@ArcadiaPodcastNetwork.com or on our Instagram at We're Getting a Dog. Thank you for listening to We're Getting a Dog from the Arcadia Podcast Network.